Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No. Take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No. Take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Mediaverse, the podcast where each week we try and sometimes succeed to answer the biggest questions facing the media industry today. I'm Pete Strauss, development producer here at Spirit, and I'm joined here by our senior producer, Tom Payne.
Afternoon.
And our social media manager, Elliot Gonzalez.
Hello.
So, this week, we're going to be asking, should BuzzFeed make TV? And like all good shows, we're messing around with the format on the second episode.
Episode two.
The format was so nailed on the first one, let's mess around with it on the second one.
Let's mess around with it. Let's, you know, either way. So, we are going to come up with 23 reasons BuzzFeed should make TV. We've got 15 minutes, and I'm going to set a timer. And we've got to try and come up with as many reasons as possible. I'm a bit nervous.
I'm really nervous.
Let's do it.
No, this will be fine.
It's a bit like being back at school, being timed for something.
Like an exam or something. Yeah.
This would be a great exam for school, though. Just 23 reasons.
They should teach us. They probably will. It's a matter of time, isn't it? Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're recording.
Wow. Who's going to start?
Right. Number one. TV's not risky anymore. No one takes any risks anymore, do they? Commissioners always want to take quite the safe route, whereas BuzzFeed have kind of got this history of like innovating, don't they? They change the internet and the way people consume the internet, and the amount of like articles that take cues, like 23 reasons of this, 10 reasons you should know about that, 10 things you should know about this global catastrophe and stuff like that. Yeah. Everyone's like copied their lead. So I think if they got into TV, they'd go into it with like the same like innovativeness that they've approach the internet with.
It's not essentially just a listicle show.
I mean, hopefully they do more.
It's not just another Channel 5 top 100 movies to watch when you're...
Actually, people have been doing this for ages.
Yeah, exactly. They've taken a TV format and made a website out of it.
That's what I was going to say. It is basically like the 100 greatest TV shows, 100 greatest kids stories, whatever.
Yeah.
Which sort of 5 years ago, Channel 4 said, we're not going to do any more of these anymore. So it's just to me that, I mean, that's the obvious choice. Where BuzzFeed are going to go next, they're going to do, if they do TV, it's going to be a listicle show.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in 2011, Channel 4 were like, we're going to slowly phase out all these listicle shows because they're just not...
Yeah.
very old hat, they're not really working. So I feel like possibly going to TV, that's not the route they should go down. But it probably is going to be the route that they go down.
Do you reckon they just do...
Because I mean, that's what they're known for, 23 reasons why this, 41 reasons why that.
Do you reckon they do like just that, know. Like 25 awkward things to do at a house party? And that
you kind of hope they'd be a bit more innovative than...
That's what I mean. I think they take the spirit of innovation to TV rather than... You'd hope they wouldn't just do listicle shows because...
Because BuzzFeed started as a tech company, essentially. So what they did to begin with was they would be a plugin for websites to tell websites what was trending on the internet. Mm. And all of a sudden they figured they should make their own content. And that was how BuzzFeed started. So surely you'd hope they'd be a bit more innovative about the format or the content. They'd use what they know to make something a bit more interesting.
I don't know.
I mean, they were the first ones to come up with the top-down recipe videos on Facebook.
And now Tasty's the biggest.
And now Tasty's the biggest
food brand in the world.
Exactly.
Just before we came in here, it's got 60 million likes on Facebook, and Proper Tasty, the UK equivalent, has 10.5 million.
Yeah, it's the biggest food brand in the entire world now.
So if they've done that with, you know, maybe they reinvent the cooking show on TV.
Or maybe they reinvent how TV's made. It's, you know, Tasty was a format that they found on BuzzFeed worked. They spun it off into its own thing, and they built this huge food brand. So maybe they will have a fresh approach to how TV is going to be made rather than going, here's a 12-part series, let's make it. And then realize in episode one, much like the current season of Top Gear, that it's a terrible format and no one likes it.
They've already made all of it. We've already spent all this money.
Yeah. Should we move on?
That's one reason. I don't know what reason.
Well, we've got one reason in the bag, lads.
Yeah.
I've got a good one.
Reason two.
Okay. 3 billion video views per month BuzzFeed get. Wow. And 5% of them happen on .com. So they're already getting 95% of their video views off their website. So why wouldn't they expand to TV? They're already...
That's the natural extension.
Yeah, it's a natural extension. Yeah. All their content is already viewed not on their platform.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't they go and stay to TV?
Number two. We're flying here now, lads. Number three, TV can appeal to an older demographic. So they've got the kind of young people on the internet demographic sewn up.
Yep.
Done a million times over, but now they can appeal to a slightly older demographic that still watches telly, so they could broaden their appeal.
Yeah.
To broaden BuzzFeed's appeal.
Exactly, yeah.
They already know how to make advertorial content, they know how to work with brands and make branded content pretty well.
We are flying, that's four reasons.
Love a Friday afternoon after a beer at lunch.
Do you have beer at lunch?
Yeah, a little beer at lunch. It was a long night last night.
Nice, yeah.
Why not?
Five. There's still a lot of money to be made in TV.
Yeah.
So you can say it's dying in the show you want, but.
Yeah, so Zenith Optimedia said that instant advertising is going to overtake TV next year, but that still means half the global ad spend is being spent on TV. So why, you know, there's this huge amount of money that's being spent still on TV that they can tap into. So why wouldn't they?
It's the same reason that Vice and Red Bull are moving into TV, because there's still.
Yeah, people see TV as sort of being dead or whatever, but it's not, it's just changing.
Yeah.
And the people making the TV shows are changing.
Yeah.
And I think the more likes of sort of Vice, BuzzFeed, Red Bull that get into TV making, then it will eventually change the way the TV's made.
Yeah.
So I think they're just sort of riding on that sort of curve that's already happening.
Well, Shane Smith said about Vice, he said, we like to own the pipe, so if we have the hits, then we can raise the value. So essentially, you know, they're getting the hits on their TV show, they get the money back, rather than them making content with other people, and they just sell the format, or...
And then it's out your hands of it.
They own all of it, then. They own the platform.
Actually... A good reason six is if Vice are doing it, Vice are really cool, so you should try and copy Vice. it's always quite a good rule of thumb. Has anyone got anything else?
Oh, there's got to be more reasons than that. We're going to get to 23. How many
are there? Actually,
how long have we got?
We have got... Oh, my phone's locked. 9 minutes.
Oh, ages.
Okay. Ages, guys.
Do you think that's how it works at BuzzFeed? They get given a list and they've got 15 minutes to come up with
actually, the reasons. You know what they do at BuzzFeed that I didn't realise? Staff writers are all ranked on an internal leaderboard.
Wow, that's brutal. Seems,
yeah. That's very competitive.
You know we are too, but you guys don't get to see it.
Oh, God.
Probably.
Better let this podcast go as well.
Sorry, Pete.
I'm going to get sacked. What else have we got? Stop other broadcasters copying their content. There are a few, without naming names, that are just shamelessly stealing some of like BuzzFeed's kind of short form content that they put through their YouTube channel, and I'm not going to start naming them, but I think people know who they are. But then again, BuzzFeed have spent years just stealing content from Reddit to put on their website, and so maybe it's a bit of karma, a bit of justice.
and they get over 200 monthly million unique visitors to their platform. All you need is 10% of that to watch a show, and all of a sudden it's like the biggest show on TV.
Yeah. I wonder how successful they'd be if they did go into TV at getting people to go from seeing them as an online thing to
It's also how are they moving into TV? Would they create shows for existing channels, or will they
launch their own channel?
I'd imagine they'd start making stuff for other people.
So if you look at at So Very British on Twitter, you know, the Very British Problems, they've got a TV show on Channel 4, which has done 2 seasons, could do a third, which does really, really well for them.
Yeah.
So that feels like a natural way of how BuzzFeed should get into TV. It's partnering with someone like Channel 4 or Channel 5. And doing a show with them and then seeing how it
I think for them it makes more sense to begin making contact with other people. I don't think anyone apart from Vice can really just go...
Yeah, because Vice have so many areas they can go into expertise, but BuzzFeed, maybe not as
wide. And I also think BuzzFeed as a TV channel would just be too much.
Yeah.
It'd be too intense. Yeah. Can you imagine how big it would be? That would be so great.
Is BuzzFeed the new MTV?
That's a hell of a thing. Potentially, yeah.
Because MTV is not MTV anymore, is it?
MTV is just Geordie Shore repeating them.
Yeah, I mean, it works.
Which I'm fine with, but...
I've not watched an episode. Is it good?
It's trashy TV. It's sort of...
Is it guilty pleasure?
It's guilty pleasure. Guilty pleasure.
That's what I used to have with Celebrity Love Island.
That you put on Series Record, but yeah.
I used to love Celebrity Love Island. I've not watched a new Love Island, but that was such... It was Paul Dinan and Callum Best.
I watched that as well, but I'm not coming up as well. Let's move on.
How many we done?
Maybe the new MTV. Let's see that as a reason.
Seven, and we have got 6 minutes left.
We're not doing this.
We are not doing it. NBC have given them $140 million, and it would be a shame not to spend it.
Yeah, and why wouldn't they make content for NBC if NBC are investing in them?
One concern I would have would be, obviously, BuzzFeed know what they're doing with regards to writing articles on the internet and making short-form content, but that doesn't necessarily lend itself to making a brilliant long-form program, so they wouldn't... They might literally not have the skill set to do it, but then it is BuzzFeed, so I imagine they'll throw money at people with the skill sets to do it.
Yeah, so I'm not a massive fan of their video content, other than Tasty. I don't think their video content is...
I think their YouTube content is really good.
I really like some of it, yeah. Mm.
Okay.
No. Not a fan?
No. Not having it.
But it is perfect. The stuff they're making is perfect YouTube fodder. I don't know how... Cause it's for 4 minutes when I'm having some lunch. BuzzFeed's a really easy thing to have on the background of... their staff doing stupid things and you can't just watch it and it's fine. I don't know if I could deal with half an hour of it.
It would be so intense.
How are they going to fit into a traditional TV schedule?
I found that Very British Problems programme a bit irritating, to be honest. It was... I
enjoyed it. I thought the names were good.
They got good talent, but the format was just one after another. Kind of, it got a bit boring. And if that's what BuzzFeed were planning to do, then surely they'd be more savvy than that.
You'd hope. There's enough smart brains working at BuzzFeed to go, let's not just make a listicle or...
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Do half an hour of top-down recipes.
They would innovate again, they'd shift again.
Yeah.
What did they start out doing, BuzzFeed's?
They're a tech company.
And they shifted into this. So
they're 8 years old as a company. They started purely as a tech plugin.
No time at all, is it?
Incidentally, I found out their founder, Jonah Peretti, is the brother of Chelsea Peretti, who's a famous actress in Brooklyn Nine-Nine and stuff like that.
Hmm. There's a reason for you. Already got an actress they can use.
There you go. We need reasons. I'm putting that there. There's nine. They know actresses.
The founder of BuzzFeed's sister could act in it.
He's got connections. We've got 9 reasons and 4.5 minutes left. We need to think of more. They do everything else already, so why not make telly as well?
Yeah, I was at a talk, which is where this quote came from, the start of this conversation, and they showed a graph of where their views are coming from, and essentially their own platform, so the app and the website, has pretty much stayed steady for 2 or 3 years. It's barely grown, and all their traffic growth has come off platform. So they kind of, there's only so much they can grow across Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and they're maxing that out, so they've got to find somewhere else for them to grow, otherwise they're going to become not a stagnant company, but they're going to fall under that trap of going, we're as big as we can be.
Yeah.
And the other place to surely go is into long-form television.
Whenever you hear companies are doing this, and apparently Spotify are talking about making video content, I'm not sure if they're still planning to do that. I always, it's a bit they're just trying to be everything to everyone. I always find that a bit annoying. Like we discussed with Facebook.
It's like
Facebook
TV are trying to be the internet and internet TV.
Yeah, it's odd that like as BBC Three moves online and Channel 4 potentially talking about doing things moving more online there.
All these
and then
BuzzFeed,
Vice are all moving onto TV. Like they're just passing each other. It's really odd.
It's really odd.
Everyone wants
the
to
problem is because of all the money these guys have raised, like Vice and BuzzFeed, they've got to show growth as a company.
Yeah.
And the only way they can really start doing that is by pushing into TV.
Yeah, that is the logical step for them.
Yeah. So it's, for them, it's about scale. It's not about necessarily improving the content or changing it. It's about they need to reach scale. They need to be everything for everyone everywhere because that's what they're valued on.
Absolutely.
I do worry about a world where BuzzFeed are ruling the world.
that's a big statement.
It's a very happy world. A lot of memes will be going on.
They basically own the internet, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like everyone copies BuzzFeed, like you say. Everyone goes to BuzzFeed.
They've created a new internet language, haven't they?
Yeah.
Like we called this episode 23 Reasons Why BuzzFeed Should Make TV, and everyone immediately knows that's a typical BuzzFeed title. They've created a language and using GIFs to illustrate their points as they're going along. The amount of websites that do that, like copy them and do quite well.
Yeah.
Off the back of just copying them. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's tried and tested formula now. So potentially if they did something amazing in telly, then maybe that would ruin telly.
I mean, they're great content creators. They're clever people.
Yeah, exactly.
And all TV is just a longer version of creating content. So
absolutely.
I 100% back them to think of something that...
I don't think they just do listicles, would they?
No.
No.
We don't.
We've got a minute and a half, or just over a minute and a half left.
Lads. How many more have we got?
16.
We've got 13 left to do. We're flagging. We're flagging.
The only reasons why they shouldn't do it?
I mean, potentially plenty. I don't know. I brought it up earlier, that whole try to be everything to everyone, like it's not necessarily a good thing. Sometimes you want a bit of competition, don't you? Sometimes it just... Yeah. And whitewashed with one company's content and opinions.
That's what I meant by taking over the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
you go to BuzzFeed for a certain thing. I guess I don't go to BuzzFeed to go, I need a half hour comedy to watch.
No.
I don't know if they went on telly whether my mindset would be able to change enough for me to acknowledge that. It's the same thing with YouTube. YouTube tried to start charging for content years ago. And everyone's mindset isn't to go to YouTube to pay for stuff. Their mindset is to go there and watch cats. That's not just what a cat, but you know what I mean? Your mindset goes to watch some nice...
that's my mindset. Yeah. Just watch a cat video.
To watch some great free content.
Yeah, so it's hard to shift and something and make that be something you should pay for.
Yeah.
And also, BuzzFeed's audience probably aren't watching TV.
No.
So who are they going to be appealing to? They're going to be appealing to their current online audience, or as you said earlier, an older audience.
I think they might get stuck somewhere a bit between it.
And where they want to watch their content.
Yeah, and I don't think being a TV channel would particularly increase traffic on their websites. Or
no.
It doesn't sound like they need that.
They should give Chris Evans a call and ask advice on what not to do.
Let's do the opposite of Tom. Yeah.
But TFI Friday could have easily been a BuzzFeed show.
Yeah, absolutely, it could have been. Yeah.
The way that disrupted TV is how I'd like to see BuzzFeed going.
Lads.
They go, new TFI Friday, 11.
That's our alarm. We came up with...
New TFI, that can be 11.
Yeah,
11 ideas, but then we came up with about 3 or 4 at the end why they shouldn't make TV.
So since you came up with 6. We had like positive 6 out of all that.
We came up with about 6.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So are we going, they shouldn't make TV? Like what's the outcome of this?
I don't...
It's all about what they're going to come up with and how they're going to execute it.
I really want them to make TV. I think it will be fascinating what they come up with. It will be something we are not expecting.
I guess the whole premise of this week's subject was Luke Lewis, who was the head of European Growth at BuzzFeed, was asked at a broadcast media production show if they're interested in TV, and he said it's definitely something we're interested in. As BuzzFeed becomes more and more weighted to video, the line between digital video and TV becomes increasingly blurred. There's definitely potential for us. That's really vague.
I was there, and the way he said it definitely hinted at... are thinking about it.
Like there's genuine discussions taking place.
It was I can't say too much, but we are thinking about it.
I'm sure they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're thinking about a lot of things, BuzzFeed there. But I'd be interested to see what they do. I'm going to go, yes, they should do it.
I think this time next year, they will have made TV one way or the other. Whether it's a channel, whether it's a show, whether it's something Netflix-y they will have made.
I think they would do.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
TV channel. Or a channel that I think they'd still want to own it all.
You reckon?
I don't think they'd be like a production company and make something for Netflix. They might do like collaborations with people.
Could they not have like a spin-off part of BuzzFeed that makes TV content rather than...
They do like BuzzFeed. They do like amazing long form articles that not many people read. There was they printed the statement in full from the Stanford rape victim the other day, It was incredible. And they do loads of really important stuff like that. Yeah. So you could see them.
Lost and all of that. So they could do some sort of hard hitting.
They could do
BuzzFeed News apps. Amazing.
Murderer type.
Exactly.
Shows.
They could completely. They could surprise people because obviously we keep talking about the listicle part, but then they make these. They've got amazing journalists.
So
potentially they'd make brilliant kind of investigative documentaries, and I'm sure they could plough money behind it. So you could actually give documentary makers the time to.
Maybe they could be the next version of 24 Hour News. Maybe they would shift that into something. Mm. 24 Hour News has just become a repeat of itself. Maybe they would look at that as a format and go, because what they do is real time trending topics. So why wouldn't they create? Essentially 24 hour news, but it could be hardcore news, it could be entertainment, it could be.
Yep.
I'd watch that.
I'm going to push you all. Tom Payne, should BuzzFeed make television?
Yeah.
Elliot 100%. Gonzalez, should BuzzFeed make television?
At the start of this, I was more towards no. Now I'm more towards yes.
Did we convince you?
I'm more towards yes, yeah.
That's three yeses.
Yeah.
We agree.
Three yeses. Through to the next stage.
BuzzFeed. I expect a iTalkTeddy blog post about this.
Yep, that will happen.
For the listeners that don't know, Elliot Gonzalez is the founder, creator, writer of the...
World famous.
World famous iTalkTeddy blog.
I am, yep.
Brilliant, okay.
Can I do my next topic?
Yeah, absolutely you can. Go ahead.
Because it leads into what Tom was saying.
I'm going to introduce it very quickly first. For listeners on the podcast that are joining us for the first time, this is very professional. Each week, all of us have to bring in an article or a video or something from the mediaverse that has piqued our interest. So, Elliot Gonzalez, what have you got for us this week?
So, where do you guys get your news from?
Twitter, I get my Guardian alerts on my phone, and probably Facebook.
Yeah, BBC as well.
Yeah, so this week it's been announced that more than 50% of all web users use social media for news every week, which isn't a huge surprise because...
I'm surprised it's that small.
I don't go to Sky News or BBC News or... Like, if a story breaks, if someone dies or, say, yesterday, Joe Cox thing, the first place you go to is Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah,
yeah, I understand.
Because it's immediate. 24-hour news channels, they're just not immediate enough.
I can't remember the last time I went... Unless I'm abroad and there's nothing on the TV apart from world news, I don't put 24-hour news on the telly.
Or if you're in a terrible pub and there's just silent rolling news on the
background. Well, one, it's old news, it's often biased news, whereas you go to Twitter and you see real reactions from real people who are there. You've got live videos on Periscope or whatever. Like, it's just immediate.
Yep.
It's like the real news. So, like, is the social media killing news channels and news sort of websites?
The drawback... I guess because I do the same. Like, I go, if a big event happens, I go to Twitter, type it in, and see what people are saying. But it's the amount of misinformation that gets spread around.
Of course.
Because people don't have to verify what they're saying on Twitter, whereas BBC News, Sky News, or something, generally try and check whether it's valid first. But yeah, absolutely. I don't turn on TV news channels anymore.
I think this is a really nice spot for newspapers to move into as well, because print's dead, you know, newspapers are shutting up shop. And it's a really interesting space because they're proper journalists, they check stories, they do it properly, but they can do it in a very quick way on devices that we have.
So what the Sun are doing at the moment, so Dan Whitten is a celebrity journalist there.
Yeah.
Instead of breaking, he always breaks his news stories on Twitter first.
Right.
And now he's breaking his news stories on Facebook Live. So he's launched his own page on Facebook. So yesterday he was like, right, I've announced a new X Factor judge at 8 p.m.
Right.
Go to my Facebook. So he goes to his Facebook and there again, he releases it there using Facebook Live. So I think it's a new way to break news for traditional organisations like The Sun.
Yeah. Is it working, his Facebook Live stuff? Do you get many views?
I don't know how many views it's got. It's got 2,000 likes on the page, but I think it's only just sort of started.
I like his...
But The Sun did quite a lot on Facebook Live.
I guess it breaks up the media monopoly a little bit, doesn't it? If anyone can... You get talented journalists who can work freelance and almost completely independent of...
Yeah.
Like, you know...
Yeah, the top 20 global news organisations have seen a 42%... increase year on year in Facebook referrals to their website.
Wow.
So people are still going to their website, but they're going to social media first.
It's because they're seeing them as quality journalism. That's, you know, those are the sites we grew up with. Those are the trusted sources. Yeah. I still wouldn't put Sky News on the telly.
No. But if you're not sure if a story is real, like you were saying, you would then go to Sky News or BBC News or wherever it is.
I go to Twitter first to get like the outline, and then you wait for a more reputable source to confirm or at least write up a bit more about it and get a bit more detail.
Because loads of rumours on Twitter, like Jack Black the other day.
Yeah.
It's like, and so people are like, is Jack Black dead? No, he's not.
But then his hacker misspelled announced in the tweet that announced that he was dead. So I was like,
that's not right.
I reckon he's all right. Apparently, like Snapchat had like 2-3 hours before as well, he was out with someone, so...
And also, social media is free, whereas that's why people aren't buying newspapers. And newspapers started doing paywalls, but only 7% of people in the UK paid for a paywall site last year.
I don't think I'd ever pay for a paywall on a news site.
I remember when The Sun did it and being really surprised that, like, dude, The Sun, are people willing to pay for that?
I think The Sun is probably one of the few that would.
Really?
I think The Sun, The Daily Mail might get away with it. The Guardian might get away with it.
The Sun tried it and then they dropped it last year.
Because people
weren't going to their website. So they were like, breaking the story on Facebook or Twitter.
People click through.
Giving a headline. People click through and they can't read the story.
Yeah. Doesn't really work, does it?
The Times are still going
strong. So they've dropped it and they've redone their website. And I think, obviously, they get more traffic now. Yeah, the Times have done it the same. So you can't read Times articles unless you sign up.
Yeah. I don't know. The Guardian need to do something, don't they? They've got a hugely popular website, don't they?
Yeah. I don't trust the story until it's come from The Guardian.
Yeah,
that's a really wanky thing to say, but
this is such a liberal podcast.
We're based in London and we work for a creative company. We're reading The Guardian. Jesus.
Actually, I'd like to take a moment to. We've got a couple of celebrity listeners, chaps.
Have we now?
Me and Elliot have been trawling through on Acast. You can go through the analytics and see where people are listening to it, right? And in America, we've had a few listens. One in Cupertino, which is the headquarters of Apple, and one in Washington, D.C.
So which logic, obviously means that Barack Obama...
And Tim Cook.
And Tim Cook.
I listened to the podcast.
Thanks, Barack. Thanks, Tim.
Hi, lads. Shout out, lads. If we could squeeze you in onto the podcast, then we'll try to
get in touch at MediaVersePod on Twitter.
Yeah. Yes, good plug.
Yeah, yes.
You can tell he does this for a job, can't you?
You can tell, man. Yes. Tom, would you like to talk to us about your story this week?
Yeah, so this is probably a couple of weeks old, but I think it's still quite interesting. So Jeff Bezos, at Code Conference, said on stage about Amazon Prime that when we win a Golden Globe, it helps us sell more shoes and does this in a very direct way. So essentially what they're saying is their whole proposition for creating original formats like The Man in the High Castle and to win awards with them is they directly sell more shoes. So the more Amazon Prime members they have, the more stuff they sell, because if you're an Amazon Prime member, you are statistically more likely to buy more things on the website.
Wow.
And I think that's a really interesting mindset for a company who makes really good telly to think... We're going to pay to make award-winning TV purely to sell more shoes.
Wow.
There's two ways about that. Like they are making great TV. I mean, it's not cutting through to something that Netflix are.
But like, I think it's about Transparent and Man in the High Castle.
Exactly. So there are some great shows on this. I could go two ways. I'd go, right, we are going to make amazing content that does win awards, or we're going to put a shitload of content out. Some of it's good, some of it's awful, just to drive traffic. And I think they're going the other way, where they're going, we're going to make high quality content.
Yeah, he said they don't want to compete with Netflix. That's not their model.
Yeah.
They don't want to compete with Netflix.
No, they want to see themselves as a subscription model in terms of services. So they want to be TV, music, next day delivery. They're starting to do grocery delivery.
Yeah. You know,
that's,
yeah,
they want to be seen as a servicing company, and they're not trying to be a content company, but content helps them cut through in a certain sector so that they sell more stuff in their other sectors.
So they're using it as a marketing tool, really?
Yeah, purely as a marketing tool.
And that's clever.
It's really interesting.
It's working.
Yes, yeah, completely working.
Wow.
Because he described it as a flywheel, so the more they pump into it, the more stuff they make, the more awards they win, the more people sign up for Primes, the more stuff they sell. So it's just this eternal thing. If they can keep plugging it in that way, it'll just keep growing and growing.
Because if you sign up to Prime, you obviously get the video.
Yep.
And you also get next day delivery.
Yeah, and so there's a music service, which is terrible. Yeah. They're about to revamp it to compete with Spotify.
So you do get a lot more money.
So you think
for
£80 a year, which is less than Netflix, you get TV, music, next day delivery, grocery delivery.
Yeah.
There's Kindle stuff you get for free.
Yes. Yeah.
I would absolutely, if they revamp the music service, I'd absolutely sign up to that.
I just think it's a really interesting, and he's a really clever bloke, and I really like what Amazon's doing with it. And
I like them being honest about that as well.
Yeah.
I like that. That's impressive, right? But for me, it's like, oh, you only make all those great shows. It feels a bit silly.
At least they're making great shows. At least they're paying money to make good stuff.
Yeah. They could be making awful shows, and it's a couple, but they're not.
That's a really interesting TED talk, actually, where it's slightly off track, but they compare, like Netflix and Amazon both like do extensive audience research, right? Yeah. Insights, who's watching what, to find out what audiences want, right? And they both decided they like audiences wanted something set in the White House, and Amazon did a sitcom called
Alpha House.
It's
really funny.
Yeah, no one watched it.
I think I'm probably the only person that watched it.
Yeah,
genuinely quite funny. If you listen to this, watch it, it's actually really funny.
I might give it a go.
It's two seasons. It's good.
They did two
seasons.
Yeah,
it's really good.
See, no one watched that, right? Netflix.
One person watched that.
One person watched that. We need to make more for Tom. Netflix did House of Cards. And it's all about, you can use algorithms to get you to a point, but then you've got to do like a creative jump off and you've got to take a risk. And we'll link to the TED talk that I linked to.
There's starting to be murmurs about Netflix and that in terms of privacy data, because they're using all our data and cross-comparing it with how we browse IMDb as well. So starting to put in other people's databases.
Oh, really?
And I think there might be a privacy conversation happening at some point in Netflix in terms of what they're sharing, what they're not.
I feel like Netflix are due a scandal, right? They've been around a few years now. So. They've not had a big one. I feel like something's going to come out.
Yeah. Hopefully not more episodes of the TV series Scandal, because that's a terrible show.
Is that a Netflix original?
No, it's not.
I was going to say, it's terrible, isn't it? my story this week is about Gawker. So,
everyone's favourite website?
Everyone's favourite website, yep. So, the story around Gawker is they ran a, for those, Gawker's kind of this gossip website, basically, and they released a sex tape of everyone's favourite 1990s wrestler, Hulk Hogan.
Of course.
And Hulk Hogan, understandably, annoyed.
I think he's also slightly proud of it as well.
He's a strange man, Hulk Hogan. A lot of wrestlers are really strange men. I think you've got to be
too many hits in the head.
You've got to be strange to want to do that job, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, they released a sex tape of him. He sued them, took them to court, and he won.
Yeah.
So Gawker lost $140 million and went into bankruptcy. It's come out that Hulk Hogan's lawsuit was completely financed by Peter Thiel, who is the founder of PayPal and an early investor in Facebook.
He's on the board of directors of Facebook.
So he's a very, very wealthy man who had a grudge against Gawker because they ran some stories about his private life. I think it was like 8-9 years ago.
It was a while ago.
Apparently he's bankrolled loads of cases against
Gawker. There's one about to come out on Donald Trump. They did an article on Donald Trump's hair, and apparently his lawyer is about to sue Gawker about the Donald Trump hair article.
Really?
I'm
surprised he got annoyed about that, because
I don't think he cares. It's Peter Thiel.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Do you finance that? So I wanted to get your opinions on Gawker as a website. I hate it. I think it's disgusting, and they've done all sorts of morally deplorable things, right?
Yeah.
But I personally feel like a multi-millionaire, if not billionaire, using court cases to shut down media isn't in the interests of freedom of press.
What point should we go over first?
I mean, where do you want to start, guys?
Gawker,
Gorky. Let's talk about Gorky. I don't particularly visit it very often. Apparently, they might be saved, so someone might finance their counter case, which they believe they'll win.
My issue with them is they claim that the articles they put out are in the public's interest. And I don't know if a sex tape about a wrestler from the 90s is in the public's interest.
I think it's
a really hard argument for them to use. But at the same time, there's got to be a level of freedom of speech, right? There's got to be a reason. Like, if he has done that and it's leaked to the public, and he's a celebrity, you can't... It's a really grey area.
Just because he's a celebrity doesn't mean that it's in the public interest.
Is anyone's sex tape ever in the public interest?
I mean, mine certainly wouldn't be.
No,
people would be disgusted. They'd hate it. My personal...
But then where do you draw the line?
It's at one part of me, I must admit, when I first read this, my initial reaction was like, good. It's nice seeing like a huge media conglomerate being held accountable for being disgusting and terrible. And I was like, good. And then when I thought more about it, I was like, oh, this was a billionaire acting out a grudge, basically.
He's a billionaire bullying a company he doesn't like to make them bankrupt, to shut them down. I mean, that's a horrible state of affairs to be in, where billionaires can control media outlets. I mean, I don't like Gorka, but you can't just bankrupt them because you don't like an article they wrote about you.
If he potentially got other grudges, like, imagine who else he could just start taking massive swipes at. Like, he'd become unstoppable.
Yeah. Jeff Bezos, I'm clearly fanboying him today, said, again at the Code Conference, if you're doing anything interesting in the world, you're going to have critics. If you can't tolerate critics, don't do anything new or interesting.
Is Jeff Bezos involved in Gorka?
Like, nothing to do with it. Nothing. He's just commenting on it. I think he's kind of got a point. If Peter Thiel is out in the public, he's a big prominent figure in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
He writes books, he's on the media circuits. If you're going to do all that, you've got to put up with the bad side of it. You've got to just develop a thick skin. And
there's actually, Gorka ran a story about Louis C.K. that alleged various things about him. And they asked Louis C.K. about it recently, and his response was pretty similar, where he went, if you think you're going to get 100% positive press, you're a maniac. If you're in the public eye, people are not going to like you. He didn't really address the allegations. But that's going to happen, isn't it? It is, right. If you're doing something people like, there are always going to be people tearing you down. But at the same token, Gorka didn't just do, like, they weren't doing amazing journalism. That was exposing corruption. Yeah. They were releasing a sex tape, out of a man as gay.
Yeah.
Like, who cares what the co-founder of PayPal, what he gets up to in his private time? That is...
Yeah, it's not a crime being gay. It's...
Yeah. Yeah. It's such an odd thing. Apparently the headline in 2007 was, Peter Thiel is totally gay, people. Like, it's just...
But who cares?
Yeah, who cares at all? I don't, That's my opinion on the subject.
Yeah.
Cool. Right, so that is sadly marks the end of this week's episode.
Boo.
Please subscribe, leave positive reviews, and follow us on Twitter at MediaversePod, and like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for the question.
Cheers, thank you.
Cheers, bye.